This is Todd Woodson. You're listening to my main man, Jim, the podcast Serpent, and the Too Many Podcast.
Welcome to Too Many Podcasts, the podcast about podcasts. Now, podcasting from the Sherpa Chalet on Mount Podcastia, here's your host, Jim, the podcast Sherpa.
Thank you so much, Mr. Bruce. Hey, everybody, it's me, your personal podcast elf on the shelf. Okay, I'm short, but I'm not really that short. How's everybody doing? It's me, Jim, the podcast Sherpa. Thanks for coming back to Too Many Podcasts. I'm sure you guys are doing a lot of running around if you celebrate Christmas, maybe doing some last-minute shopping, or setting up a holiday party, or decorating the house. And even if you're not celebrating Christmas, we hope that you are enjoying your month and things are going well for you. Christmas is for everybody, I say. It's a season of giving, and regardless of what your beliefs are, give of yourselves to others and hope that there's a Nintendo somewhere in the end. No. I didn't really say that. I just made that up. So anyway, where are we? Yes. So what kind of week is it? Oh, I did it again.
It's theme week.
Would you like to know what theme it is this week? Well, hopefully you're sitting in a big comfy chair and you've got your big cup of soda or liquid, whatever you like to drink. And of course your $19 bucket of popcorn. Yes, that's right. This week's theme is the movies. And I know I haven't done any movie podcasts yet, and I was very lucky to find our guest this week. But I'm sure before you meet our guest this week, I'm sure she'd want us to tell you that today's podcast is being brought to you by Audible, and you can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/Sherpa. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Great last-minute gift, folks. Just got to go to audible.com and boom, make it happen. Books all over the place. Just on your phone. It won't even mess up your apartment or your house or the bathroom or wherever you like to keep your books. So what was I saying? Mr. Bruce, I believe you had a question for me.
Who's our guest today, Sherpa?
She hosts a podcast called Movies with Kane and Tal, and she's also doing double duty on a podcast called Ear Floss, which is about music. She's down in Australia, and we had a wonderful conversation. She was a lot of fun to talk to. And it's funny how we came across each other. She was looking for a guest with interesting musical stories, and I don't have any interesting musical stories, except for the time that me and the Rolling Stones... Oh, I'm not allowed to tell that one. Sorry, Dirty Louie. I've been advised by counsel that I cannot share that story because it is an alleged incident. Anyway... So she wanted somebody with an interesting musical story, and I referred her to Mr. Bruce because he worked in radio and also the record business. So I figured he'd have plenty of interesting stories, and I'm sure Mr. Bruce did not disappoint, and he appeared on Ear Floss. And in exchange, she came onto Too Many Podcasts, and what a great trade. And I'm sure you guys will be checking out that interview with Mr. Bruce because you know how entertaining he is, especially when he's on the show. So, her name is Natalia Bai. Like I said, the name of the podcast is called Movies with Kane and Tal. I hope you enjoy the interview that I had with Natalia. We had a really great time. We were talking about American cinema and Australian cinema and holiday movies because Christmas is upon us. Ding, 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 ding. That was me doing sleigh bells. We've got a really low budget here. Anyway, why don't we head on down to the replay room at the Sherpa Chalet, and we can check out the conversation that I had with Natalia. Hey, everybody. We're at the movies today, and I have a wonderful guest sitting here in the video screen. And, you know, if you're talking movies, you got to be talking video, so she's right on video. She is the co-host of a podcast called Movies with Kane and Tal, and her name is Natalia Bai. Natalia, hey, how you doing?
Hello, Joe. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, welcome to the Sherpa Chalet.
Thank you.
Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about Movies with Kane and Tal?
All right. Well, I started this, we were just talking about this only about 3 months ago. So I have a friend of mine. He's actually the son of one of my best friends, and he's a prolific film reviewer. So he has a blog and he writes hundreds and hundreds of reviews every year. I think in 2016, he did over 300 film reviews, all of them typed up, all up on the blog. He sometimes writes for Film Inc, and he's just really good at it and become somewhat of a film buff. So I was talking to him one day and I said, I was getting interested in the podcast space, and I thought to myself, maybe we should just make a podcast about movies. And I really didn't expect him to say yes, but I said, hey, Kane, do you want to make a movie about a podcast about movies? And he said, yeah, let's do it. Just like that, like it was nothing. And I went, okay. Well, let's just do it then. And so we just did, we just started. And I said to him, look, you've got a lot of time to watch films, and I probably can't keep up with how many films you watch per week. So why don't you choose one that you're already going to review, and I'll choose something that I've already seen and make you watch something that I watched in my childhood or in my youth, and we'll talk about the two of them. So we always kind of try and make sure they're linked in some way. They might be by the same director. Maybe they'll have the same actor in them, or they'll be about a similar theme, or they might be a remake of a film. And so they're always linked in some way, and we just go in and just brain dump about how we feel about these movies, and that's pretty much it.
That's really good, you know, that you really get to challenge each other too to kind of experience a new movie as well.
We do, and the great thing about it is that he kind of does a lot of research, and I just watch them purely for entertainment value. That's the kind of movie watcher I am. I don't go into a cinema having already known who the director is and who wrote it and who produced it or anything like that. I'm literally just going in for the story. I want to be taken along for the ride. Whereas Kane's coming at it from a very, as I said, like a film buff perspective. So he's done all the research. And for me, it's great because I get to go in there and he tells me all this stuff that I didn't know about the movie beforehand, which makes it really exciting.
Now, you actually had a little bit of an experience with an actual movie blockbuster. As an extra?
Yes. I did. How did you know that?
Oh, was that an ambush question? I'm sorry. I don't do
that. No, not at all. I'm just wondering because I think I wrote it. Oh, I didn't. It's in the bio, isn't it? Yes. Yeah. So about, I'm going to be showing my age here now, Jim. About 20 years ago, they made both the Matrix 2 and 3 films in Sydney at the same time. And they were recruiting for extras for the nightclub scene in Reloaded. So, you know, when they're, I can't even remember what happens in the film. It's been so long since I've seen it. But Neo's not there, so we don't get to see Keanu Reeves until the very end. But there's a big nightclub scene. And so they had about, I think, maybe 200 to 300 people they needed for that scene. And I just happened to get picked out of a group of people who walked into this club. They basically just went, yes, no, no, yes, yes. And then they took us all to what used to be called Fox Studios, which is kind of this like an entertainment quarter in Sydney, and put us in a massive tent, dressed us all up in this latex, and told us to go in, dance for 5 minutes, and then we go and sit outside. But while we were inside dancing, they actually walked through and just randomly picked about 10 people to go up onto the parapet where they stand and have the kind of conversation between Trinity and Morpheus and the Mandragoran, you know, that French guy. And, so they gave a couple of those guys some like machine guns to stand there as like guards. And then they made me sort of stand behind Morpheus while he was having his conversations. And so you can see kind of the bottom left hand part of my midriff. And that's about it. But in the cinema cut, when I went and saw it, and I was in Tokyo at the time, and I made my friends come along with me. I said, oh, I'm in this movie, come along. And they were like, sure you are. I said, no, I really am. And we went in and then I'm up on the screen for like half of a second. And I go, there I am. And then I was gone. Everyone was like, that wasn't you. Because they put the film out like 4 years later. So I think it filmed in 2000 or 2001, and then they didn't release it till 2004. So I didn't even look like I did in the movie, and nobody believed it was actually me. But it was, I promise. I was in The Matrix.
You know, if they ever redo it, because I know Keanu Reeves is supposedly redoing Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. So yeah. If they redo The Matrix, maybe you can go around signing people's stomachs.
I will. Definitely. Oh, if they come back and do it in Sydney again, I'll give Keanu a call for sure.
There you go. He said, do you remember my midriff? My midriff has its own agent now, which wants to come on your movie.
Right. You get your people to speak to my people.
And the belly button wants something extra too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That doesn't come cheap. No way.
Now, there were a lot of different features in your podcast as well when you have On This Day and the For Friday's Sake.
Yeah, so we've just started looking at doing a few, changing things up a little bit, just to experiment, I guess, with different kinds of content, see what people like. And we're still so new. We're still kind of figuring out our thing. But Kane is pretty adamant that our segments together that we do with the comparing the film is his favourite. And I guess I'm looking at it from more of a... I've noticed that the more content you put out, the less people are likely to kind of forget about you. Mm-hmm. It's a really interesting thing. If your podcast is popping up on people's phone, they go, oh, that's right. There's that podcast. I should probably listen to that. So I guess I'm kind of just experimenting with a few different things. But I'm really enjoying the On This Day thing. Just for myself, one of the things I love about making podcasts is all the research that you get to do and all the things that you kind of get to learn. And so I'd never seen Casablanca before. Can you believe that? Like, I thought everybody in the world had seen Casablanca, and even my dad was like, really? And so the other day, in the middle of the day, and the kids are at school, and I thought to myself, I'm just going to sit down and watch Casablanca. Because I can. And I did, and I really enjoyed it. And then I got to sort of, you know, look into it a little bit more and find out a few things about it. And I thought, that was, I don't know, for me, that was really fun. And I hope people, you know, get something out of it too.
Yeah, well, Casablanca is definitely one of the classic movies. I know, yeah. I think we all have that little list of classic movies that we know about, but we've never really sat all the way through it.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm Italian, and I've never sat through The Godfather.
And see, that was one of the ones I was just about to mention. And have you noticed that most of those older films, they're really, really long. I mean, Lawrence of Arabia is like 3.5 hours long. All those Godfather films are like 3 hours. I was like, if I sit down and watch those movies, it's like 9 hours out of my life. I've got to find somewhere to watch those films. And yeah, I know. I miss the Godfather ones too. That was sort of just... in a period of my life, I wasn't really kind of watching that kind of stuff. So, but I... You know what? I'd love to. And maybe I should make that one of my, just as an excuse to watch them, maybe I should make that one of my next podcasts.
You see, you took the Sherpa challenge and you're watching The Godfather.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. I'm going to take it up.
Okay. You know what? Why don't we tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Okay. So I'm a mom of two beautiful kids, a boy and a girl. We live in Wollongong, which is sort of about 1.5 hours south of Sydney in Australia. Which is a beautiful, beautiful part of the world. I come from having done quite a few different things in my life, mostly in kind of like tourism and hospitality. And once we moved down here and I had the kids, I kind of found myself at a bit of a loose end thinking, I guess I kind of wanted to reinvent my life. I was like, I'm not interested in going back to what I did before, but I don't really know what I want to do. And I don't have a whole lot of time outside of parenting, cleaning the house and doing all those really exciting things in life. And I don't know what happened, but one day I just thought to myself, you know, I'd really like to make podcasts. I'm the kind of person that sort of says something to myself and then I just do it. Like one day I said, I'm going to write 30 songs in 30 days and I'm going to record them and upload them to YouTube on the day that I wrote them for 30 days in a row. And I did. I just did it every single day. I wrote a new song, recorded myself singing it, and put it up onto YouTube. And I don't know why. But that's just how I roll. So this is the same thing with the podcast. I just thought, I'm going to start a podcast. So I started a podcast. And here we are. Here we are. Talking on a podcast show about podcasts.
You know what? I was just thinking, if you get advanced word on a movie that's being made, you could go 30 days and just do something for the soundtrack and just say, here's your soundtrack for your movie.
Why not? I'm all for it. Throw it at me. Give me the ideas. I'll do it.
She's up for the challenge. Her and her midriff are up for the challenge.
Absolutely.
You talk a lot about Australian cinema in your podcast, as well as American. Is there a marked difference between the two of them, or how do you feel about that?
That's a really interesting question, and something that I was thinking about last night, actually. We export a lot of really great actors from here. So I don't know if you've noticed that recently, Joel Edgerton and Ben Mendelsohn are showing up in pretty much everything that's been produced in Hollywood at the moment. And they all started in Australian films and in what I would call really quintessentially Australian films. So stuff that I wonder sometimes how it translates overseas because it's so Australian. And there's a really old film that has Rose Byrne and Heath Ledger in it from the early 2000s called Two Hands. And it's set in King's Cross in Sydney, which is like the red light district. And it's one of my absolutely all-time favorite films. It's like in my top five. It's one of those films that I can just watch over and over and over again and has a scene in it that makes me laugh every single time without fail. And I thought, I really wonder how that went over with the American audience and if anyone has actually even knows about it or has seen it. Because those actors became obviously really very successful. I mean, everybody knows who Heath Ledger is practically. But to answer your question in a very roundabout way, yes, I think there is a big difference between what I would consider an Australian film in inverted commas, as in a quintessentially Australian film. I think that outside of Australia, some people may struggle to pick up all the nuances. Having said that, very recently we've been making a lot of films that are considered Australian films, but they're in an American style, if that makes sense. So I don't know if you saw I Am Mother, and we did that on one of our podcasts. It's actually an Australian film. It has Rose Byrne in it, but it's also got American actors, and everyone sounds American, and it looks like a pretty schmick sci-fi American film. And so that, I think, most people probably didn't even realize that it was an Australian movie. So yeah, but that's quite a recent thing. Up until probably 10 or 15 years ago, our films were, you could just tell straight away it was an Australian movie. So, not so much like Crocodile Dundee, not that Australian, but still quintessentially us, I guess. Yeah.
To you, what makes a great movie?
100%, it's the story. So I will forgive a film if the acting is not completely on point. I will forgive a film if it wasn't perfectly edited, or if it doesn't have the most amazing cinematography, or if the soundtrack is, you know, not Hans Zimmer. But if the story doesn't grab me, if it doesn't pull me along, and I don't get drawn into why the characters are doing what they're doing, and I don't understand the characters because they haven't been developed properly, then it just doesn't work for me. So I think it really comes down to writing, and I feel like that must be my only conclusion I can come to about why there are so many bad films around is that there must be a lack of good writers or good writing, or people are taking a good story and ruining it somehow. Because honestly, I think that if you've got a good story, you almost can't mess it up, you know?
I agree with you, because like you said, without the story, it's basically a 2-hour nap.
Yeah.
there's nothing to watch. It's just like, okay, well, whatever.
Exactly. Case in point, I don't know, like if anyone wants to go and listen to any of our podcasts, we did one on, we did an Adam Sandler double feature. So we compared Spanglish, which is, to me, is a really quite a cute film that I have always really enjoyed, and probably not a classic Adam Sandler film. And then we did that new one that came out on Netflix. All Adam Sandler's films now come out on Netflix, but Murder Mystery. And that was a 2-hour nap, and I'm watching it and I'm going, it's not that it's bad. It's not that the acting's bad or anything that they've done is bad about it. It's just that I don't feel for these characters, and there's no story here, and it's not even funny. just like, and that's just a good case of, you know, a good story. I think Spanglish has got a beautiful story in it. Like, it's interesting. You get involved with the characters, you feel for them, and then whatever the hell he's putting out now, I don't know what's going on there.
What are the genres that you like to watch?
I'm a huge, huge post-apocalyptica fan, particularly if it involves zombies. So anything with zombies in it, anything with, you know, end of the world kind of tendencies. I'm also a bit of a sucker for a good romantic comedy, you know, like back in the days when the UK were putting out all those Four Weddings and a Funeral and all that kind of stuff, that was really, I was really, really loved that kind of stuff. And then in general, I'll watch anything. Again, I'm just going to repeat myself, as long as it's got a good story, you know. Okay. But you know, if you give me a good story with some zombies in it, mate, I'm your biggest fan.
If I ever see something coming up, you may get an instant message from me going, Natalia, check this one out.
Totally. Send it all through. I want to see them all of them.
When you usually go to the movies, do you usually go to like a regular multiplex movie theater?
Well, it really depends. If I can watch it at home, I'll watch it at home. If I can wait for it to come on to, even if I, you know, pay for it through iTunes or whatever. But if I get a chance to go to the cinema, I will 100% take that option every time. It's not always viable with two kids and life. but if I could choose, I would 100% go to the cinema. When I was in my early 20s and my late teens, I was working for a company who also owned a cinema, I guess, company. So they owned Grady Union. I'm not sure if you guys have, like, similar to Hoyts. I don't know if you guys have the same kind of companies. But anyway, they owned a big chain of cinemas. And we used to get 50-cent movies for working for this company. So basically it was free. So I used to go like 3 times a week to the cinema when I was young because it was so cheap and just see anything that came out, absolutely anything. And it was such a great time of my life. I would love to get myself into a position now with this podcast where that's what I get to do. Go to the cinema 3 or 4 times a week and just watch stuff. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, you could be like a podcast movie critic, right?
Why not? Let's do it.
So when you go to the movies, is there anything that you love about the theater and anything that you hate about going to the cinema?
Oh, I love everything about it. I love, firstly, that in general, my kids aren't there. Although having said that, I'm taking them to see Frozen 2 this afternoon. So, you know, but again, that's also an exciting experience, even with them. I love everything. I love the big comfy chairs. I love getting popcorn. I love the theatre of it. I mean, I know that sounds ridiculous, but because it is a movie theatre, but I really do love that kind of thing. And it's a whole experience. It's not just kind of like, you know, when you at home, when you are watching something on Netflix, there's always that tendency to pause it, go and make yourself a cup of tea. Oh, was that one of the kids waking up? Oh, did you forget to put the bins out? You know, there's all these kind of things that can distract you. Your phone beeps, somebody sends you a message and says, come on my podcast, I really want you to come on my podcast, and you can be distracted. Whereas when you go to the cinema, you're kind of forced to really switch your phone off, ignore everything, and just experience the movie the way it was intended to be experienced. So yeah, I do really love that.
You actually helped me segue into my next question. Because I know there have been some big movies that have been coming out, but they've been starting on the streaming services like Netflix, and we have The Irishman, which is a 3-hour movie. And what is your thoughts about streaming movies versus the theater? You think it's going to replace it altogether?
Gosh, I feel like you're reading my mind. So all things I've been thinking about this week, because I saw all this stuff about The Irishman around, and I didn't actually realize that it was on Netflix and that it hadn't had a cinema release. And I did find that really interesting. I was actually quite shocked because I was flicking through the TV looking for something to watch, and I saw it and I went, what? How's that gone from the cinema to Netflix? Oh, okay, I see. But to answer your question, honestly, I don't know. I think it's one of those things. It's like when everyone freaked out when we first started being able to download music off the internet, when these streaming services became available for music, we got Spotify and iTunes and all that kind of stuff. We started consuming our music differently. And for a while there, everyone freaked out and went, this is going to change everything. It's going to destroy everything. And, you know, it's never going to be the same again. And I think that in general, what happens is that people adjust, the market adjusts, the artists themselves or the people in the industry adjust, and everyone manages to find a space. And I think that you'll always have, with movies, you'll always have people like myself, like we just discussed before, who want that experience, who want to go to the cinema and see a film. And then you have people who would never do that, regardless of whether it was available or not. So I think that we're just looking at a new era where we're going to find different ways of consuming movies. And that's never a bad thing, because this means you've got access to more, more and more and more people. The easier you make it, the better it is. But I also think what it's going to do is open up movie making to a bunch of new people. And that's what excites me, because to be honest, I'm kind of sick of seeing the same names, the same stories, the stories about the same kinds of people. The lack of diversity in films in general is like gag worthy. Like, honestly, sometimes I just sit down and I look at the list of things coming out and I'm going, really, really? Like, and so I seek out those more independent films, and I seek out those stories that show a diverse, you know, range of the population. And I hope that with services like Netflix and with more independent studios being able to vie for the same kind of audience, that we will start to see more interesting stories about more interesting people.
We become victims of technology after a while, where you think you're going to see more of the world, but you get confined more in your house because you're looking at a computer screen the whole day.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like you said, as long as there's things that people will be interested in seeing, as long as it's not another sequel, like the Fast and the Furious Part 19, or, you know, another superhero movie, like, you know, Dog Paw Man is flying. Yeah, there are other things they can make movies about.
Yes, it's so true. And I mean, it's interesting, because that used to be such a niche type thing, and they've taken it and they've obviously gone past the tipping points. It has become ridiculous. But again, that was one of those things that, you know, it was so niche and there were just a few kind of small things happening there. And now this is what happens when something gains kind of popularity. It just kind of takes over the world. And that in itself can be a bit of an issue, because then you get just a lot of crap. Like you said, like Fast and Furious 19, like how many times can we rehash this same thing? And so, yeah, as I said before, like if this means that we can get a few more different things going on, I see that as a good thing.
Since this podcast will be on a little bit before Christmas, I was wondering, do you have any favorite holiday movies?
I do. And this is going to be ridiculous, but I just watched Christmas with the Cranks for the first time the other day. It was recommended to me by a friend like earlier in the year. I don't even know why we were talking about Christmas movies, but it looks like sort of not my thing. I think that's probably why I skipped it when it probably came out, but we watched it the other night and I could not stop laughing, honestly. But also it was actually like really good. Like it had a great story and it had such a beautiful ending. It had the whole package. It made you laugh and it gave you those good holiday feels. And I really, really enjoyed it. I wanted to watch Last Christmas, but I don't think I'm going to get a chance to see it, but I've heard not great things about it. So I'm not sure if I'm going to put myself through it this time around. I might wait for it to come onto Netflix or something. But before I'd seen Christmas with the Cranks, I'm sorry to say this because it sounds so cliched, but Die Hard, like it's just, I'm a huge Bruce Willis fan. I just love him. I love everything he does, no matter how bad and cheesy and corny it is. And Die Hard is just up there with one of my all-time favorite films. And I put it in the holiday film category. I know there's a lot of debate about that, people get really, really passionate about this debate, but I'm on the team Die Hard holiday movie, so there you go.
Well, since you mentioned Netflix, there's a great holiday movie on it called The Christmas Chronicles.
Yeah, is that like a family? Is that the one with
Kurt Russell?
Kurt Russell in it. Yes, yes. My niece was watching it the other day when I was around there, and she was having a good old giggle at it. So I might have to pull that one out. Thank you for the recommendation.
Yeah, we saw it. We really enjoyed it. It was a fun Christmas movie.
Oh,
and
cool.
And like you said, it had that kind of sentimentality in it as well, and it held your interest.
Perfect. Oh, excellent. Well, I'm just writing that down right now. Thank you.
and you can't imagine Kurt Russell making a great Santa, but he was really good at it.
It does. It is difficult to imagine, but I'm going to give it a go. Thanks.
You've kind of touched the course of our interview about your favorite movies. Let me know what your five favorite movies are. Okay. Any genre or just off the top of your head.
Off the top of my head, Whale Rider, which is a New Zealand film. Which came out in the early 2000s. I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but that's probably my number one favorite film of all time. Number two would have to be 28 Days Later, which is a UK zombie flick. Fantastic, fantastic film. I mentioned to you earlier, Two Hands. That's an Australian film, Rose Byrne and Heath Ledger. It's just a classic for me. A French film called The Intouchables, which I'm pretty sure has just been remade as an American film very recently. And I can't remember what they've called it, but it's about a guy who's paraplegic in a wheelchair, and he has a male nurse come and start looking after him, and they form a friendship. And the French version, I'm not sure about the American one, I can't speak for it because I haven't seen it, but the French one is absolutely unbelievably good. And then, number five. You know what? It's off the top of my head, I can't actually. All right, I'm going to go with The Princess Bride. That was a classic film for me as a teenager. My dad saw it on TV and came home and said, "You girls have got to watch this film." And my life was never the same afterwards.
I'm sure the first thought that came in your mind when your dad said it was inconceivable.
100%. Yeah, that's been a classic in our family for, you know, over 25 years. So, yeah, there you go, top five.
The one that you mentioned about the man in the wheelchair and the male nurse,
yep.
I forgot the title of the movie. It came out a couple of months back. It was with Bryan Cranston and Kevin Hart.
Yes, that one. So go see the original French version if you can deal with the subtitles or if you know how to speak French, because it is just a cracker of a film.
Since we are doing our podcasts here, and you do double duty on podcasts, by the way, on that a little bit.
Yeah, sure. So I've been co-hosting on a music podcast called Earfloss. You probably noticed through the course of this interview, I've talked a little bit about music. I've been playing music since I was six. So I started playing piano when I was six. I write songs, I play guitar and I sing. I actually have an album out on iTunes. and Kenny, the host of Earfloss, was in one of those, you know, those Facebook groups of podcasters and stuff, which I, by the way, are so beautiful. Gosh, I find the podcasting community just so supportive and lovely. And he was just kind of putting the feelers out to see if anybody would like to guest host with him because he'd kind of lost his co-host. And I said, yeah, I'd be keen. And he said, okay. And then we just started working together. We had like 1 5-minute chat and he was like, yeah, I think this is going to work. And so we've done two so far. One's been released, which was about Lauryn Hill, which I really enjoyed doing. And just touching back before what we were saying about how I just love the fact that my life at the moment is I can just sit down in the middle of the day and watch a film because I'm technically working. It's the same thing with Earfloss, is that I now spend my time when I'm not watching films researching these amazing artists who I, you know, have listened to through my life and whose music I love and has inspired me, and then get to go and talk to somebody about it. And it's so cool. He's got, I think there's about 10 episodes up so far. He's not too far ahead of me. I think they've been going for about 6 months. But he's been nominated for award and all kinds of stuff, and it's really getting cool traction and a lot of great feedback. So I'm really, really thrilled to be helping out on that one. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, I'm sure people will be glad to be hearing your voice on another topic too.
Oh, I hope so.
So what are the podcasts that you like to listen to?
So I have discovered a couple of new ones recently. I really like 10-ish, which I discovered from listening to your podcast. That's a great show. I was thinking about it the other day. It's just a really cool format for a podcast. And what I love about it is when they tell you the list and you start guessing yourself. You try to guess before whoever is guesses. So I really like that. There's another one that I discovered recently, which is another independent podcast called Bigfoot for Breakfast. It's two girls and they talk a lot about kind of unsolved mysteries and weird phenomenon and the macabre, stuff like that. And their format I really enjoy because they really do a lot of great research. It's very well researched and they're obviously quite serious about it because they get really into it. And so they read out bits of their script, but then they kind of just jive off each other in between, and they must have a very close relationship because you can feel the kind of, you know, connection between them. So I really enjoy that one. Another couple, Whining About Her Story, or kind of it's a play on history. So the couple of girls that get together and share a bottle of wine and talk about some kind of unknown women throughout history, which I find really interesting. Again, I'm all about diversity. And I'm just trying to think. I've been a bit lax in my podcast listening lately because I've been working so much on my own ones, but they're three of the ones that I listen to a lot. So yeah, other than you and Earfloss as well.
Thank you. And yeah, we have a portion of the show called Shameless Self-Promotion.
Shameless Self-Promotion.
Oh yeah.
And this is where you can let our audience know where they can get in touch with you and where they can hear you.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, so we are available on most, pretty much all platforms where you can find podcasts. So everything from CastBox and right through to iTunes and so forth. Social media-wise, we are Movies with Kane1 at Twitter, Movies with Kane and Tal on Facebook, Movies with Kane and Tal on Instagram. We're very active in there. If anybody's keen to give us any suggestions for movies that they'd like to hear us talk about, we are always happy to oblige. No website, but there's also an email address. If you want to email us direct, you can email to moviewithkaneandtal@gmail.com.
We've got a bit of an assignment for everybody here. So if you want to hear Natalia, you can listen to Movies with Kane and Tal. You can listen to Earfloss. You can look for her album on iTunes, and you can look for her midriff somewhere in the movies.
Good luck. You'll have to have a really good pause button because it flashes by very quickly.
Natalia Bly, thank you so much for coming by the Chirpa Chalet.
Absolute. My pleasure. Thank you, Jim.
And now it's time for Sherpa Suggestions.
Make sure that you're checking out Movies with Kane and Tal. And since we were talking about movies and the holidays, I figured I'd give you a little bit of a mashup of some podcasts about movies and holidays and holiday movies. We have Tinseltown, the holiday movie podcast. It's the only podcast where the Mayor of Christmas will watch and review every Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year, and otherwise midwinter holiday film to firmly establish the new holiday canon. We also have Christmas Creeps, which is a podcast dedicated to celebrating Christmas all year long through the magic of terrible holiday movies. We have Christmas Past, which tells you about the backstory behind many of our Christmas traditions. And there's also the Weird Christmas Podcast. I don't know if I want to check that one out, but hey, it might be interesting. Anything that has to do with weird, that always worked for me, right? And we have the Holiday Special Podcast, where people watch holiday specials and talk about them. And the Hark podcast. This is where your hosts, Ian and RJ, review and rank every Christmas, Hanukkah, winter, holiday, etc. songs. All of them, even the bad ones. Especially the bad ones. And there are your little holiday slash movie choices for podcasts to check out. So you better not pout. You better not cry. You better not shout. I'm telling you why. You're really making a scene in the restaurant. That's why. Thanks again for listening to Too Many Podcasts. You know, I just did a take where I said, thanks again for watching Too Many Podcasts. If you're doing that, maybe you're doing the little podcast thing wrong and you might need a little help. But if you need some help, feel free to email me at jimthepodcastsherpa@gmail.com and I'll show you. You know, first you got to download that app and then you put your headphones on. Don't just stare at the phone, okay? And also, don't forget to follow us on social media. I'm gradually picking up a following on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And, you know, I don't really ask for much for the holidays, but this has been the nicest present that a person could ask for. To have people who are actually interested in listening and checking out all the videos and the posts and reacting, that's a really great thing. And I really, really sincerely appreciate that. And I would like to thank all of you out there in Podcastia. Also, don't forget to check out Natalia's podcast that she appears on, Movies with Kane and Tal, and also Ear Floss, which she's just started on, which is a podcast about music history. And we got to give our buddy a shout out. Mr. Bruce will be appearing on a future episode of Ear Floss, and I'm sure it'll be really great and a lot of fun. So make sure you check out that episode when it comes on. Let's see, what have we done for the holidays so far? We made the Happy Sherpa Holidays playlist for Spotify. We made the sneaky peeky preview episode of The Expert Factory, showing you how to shop using shopping apps. And you can make a little money and get a little money back. And what else did we do? Oh, and we have a couple of special episodes coming up, too. Next week, we will be having an interview with a lady named Kat McLeod. And she was really great. And her story is really inspiring. So I thought it was really cool to save it for Christmas. Just as a little Christmas present to kind of put you in a pleasant holiday spirit, which I hope you are experiencing now. And after that, on January 1st, the new year, 2020, finally here. Da-da-da. We'll be talking to Kathy McEwen, and she's the host of the podcast Organize for Success. And we'll be talking about getting your life organized for 2020. Yeah, I think we all need that. Listen to all the papers that are on my desk. You see, does this sound like a person who needs a little bit of organization in his life? Yeah, I just dropped it there on the floor here. Oh, okay. Yes, definitely need some organization. We'll be seeing you next week for our special holiday episode. I hope you will be listening. And for the holidays, I hope you and your family are enjoying yourselves, having a nice, safe, and happy holiday season. Catch you on Christmas. Mr. Bruce, you get the week off next week. Could you please lead us out the door? Thank you, sir. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Too Many Podcasts. Please disperse. You can go home now. I said you can go home now. Viva la Chapalition. Viva la Chapalition. Yeah, I'll come back now, you hear?